It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report. And here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan. And good Friday morning, everyone. Packer bids for hogs today are expected to be weak to as much as $1 per hundredweight lower, pressured by larger-than-expected supplies of slaughter-ready hogs over the past 3 weeks and a sharp break in the pork cutout Thursday. Terminals are called steady to a dollar lower, tops from $44 to $45. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $44. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, September 21st, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 14,966. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $58 to $67. The weighted average was $64.81, a loss of 97 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $42.77 to $52, and the weighted average was $48.83. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 12,611. The base price range was $56.50 to $66.22. The weighted average was $64.56, a loss of 99 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.25 to $52.50, and the weighted average was $49.13.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Joining us now with a look at the agricultural weather is Mike Sola. And Mike, I was woke up overnight by nearby lightning strikes.
Well, that was the thunder that woke you up. Unless, well, maybe the lightning woke you up if it was bright enough to go through the windows there. Yes, we did have some storms roll through, Dave. And those storms have now pushed all the way into western, southwestern Ohio, south of the Ohio River, and through central and eastern Kentucky. And there's still a little bit of trailing thunderstorm activity for northern Indiana, across Lake Michigan into eastern Wisconsin. There is also the threat of more strong thunderstorms later on today as a frontal system and a storm center pushes out of the central plains. Actually, the center of the storm has worked its way into northeastern Nebraska, so it'll be pushing across Iowa and towards the Mississippi River a little bit later on today. And as that occurs, thunderstorms are expected to fire up ahead of that front. Some locations will be picking up some very heavy rainfall. For the last couple model runs, it has indicated, they've indicated the heaviest rain would be along the Ohio River. Some of the more recent runs of the model indicate to push that heavier band north, from east central Illinois in through northeastern Indiana. So we'll have to keep our eyes on the system, see where the heavy rain falls. I did take a little run yesterday out in the country. I saw a lot of activity going on, but still a lot of corn that looked to be dry and ready to be picked, still standing in the fields. And this rain system's coming in. It, again, will bring some locally heavy rainfall. We'll get a break from the precipitation early next week. Looks like Monday, Tuesday, and most of Wednesday dry before the next weather system comes in. And, again, a little bit of a change in the latest model run where the rainfall next week does not look to be all that significant, but it does indeed mean that there will not be dry times towards the end of next week. So field work could start to get a little bit behind schedule if it's not there already. Across the Midwest and western sections, we'll also have some situations to deal with that in the form of some very strong winds around this and very impressive low that's as strong as some Atlantic hurricanes. So that is going to bring some very strong winds across Nebraska and Iowa this morning. And again, that will work its way east. There's going to be wind gusts that will be up in the neighborhood of 35 to 40 miles per hour. In fact, some of the reports this morning in the southern plains in the Texas, West Texas area, had straight line, not thunderstorm winds, but straight line winds up to around 75 miles per hour. So Corn Belt showers and thunderstorms slowing field work, and that includes the summer harvest, but maintaining adequate to abundant soil moisture reserves. In the south, isolated thunderstorms develop primarily from the delta eastward, and field work, including summer crop harvesting, will continue in most areas with few delays for the south. On the plains, the sprawling storm system producing cool, showery weather across the northern portion of the region. Northern plains rain continues to boost topsoil moisture, but chilly conditions slowing field work, winter wheat emergence, and then farther south, very cool weather on the central plains contrasts with the warm, dry, breezy conditions across much of Texas and Oklahoma. As far as next week, the second week outlook for the Midwest, for the corn and soybeans' biggest growing areas, does favor a limited precipitation pattern. The change reinforces a better outlook for harvest. Totally dry weather, not expected, and what little rain does fall, not likely to be great enough to create a serious threat to crop or field work across the region. And just quickly, note on South America, changes in the forecast for Argentina overnight have decreased rain potentials for the first week and adjusted timings on some of the upcoming precipitation events. And all of the precipitation is expected to be light and will likely leave a large amount of the nation, Argentina, in greater need for rain. The trend is still toward improving rainfall in the second week of the two-week period, but that, and you know, right now that's a little bit of a ways off and not likely to put a whole lot of confidence in it. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 483 down 1 1/4, last trade down 2 1/2. March, 489 down 3 1/4, last trade down 3 1/4. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 420 3/4, down 3/4, last trade down 2 3/4. March, 437 1/2, down 1 3/4, last trade down 2 1/2. July, 448 3/4, down 2, last trade down 3 1/2. December corn opened at 256 1/2, down 3/4, last trade down 1 1/4. March, 268 down 2, last trade down 1/4. July, 283 down 1, last trade down 1. Red line December, 294 3/4, down 1/4, last trade up 3/4. March 2008, 301 3/4, unchanged, last trade unchanged. November beans opened at 557 down 1, last trade down 1. January, 569 3/4, down 1 3/4, last trade down 1 1/2. July, $6 1/4, down 1/2, last trade up 1/4. October soybean meal, 168.30, unchanged, last trade down 10. October soybean oil, 24.41, up 11, last trade up 11. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Dave.
Quite the inspired technical run-up yesterday. We're going to give some of that back in profit-taking today?
I would expect it. I mean, obviously, it's Friday. Markets were overdone yesterday. They blew through that 249-252 gap, got that filled, and then the fund stepped in kind of mid to late session. Ended up buying somewhere in the neighborhood with futures and options, 21,000 contracts. So, yeah, I was kind of off to the races, got overdone. I expect a little profit taking here today, maybe by the close even a little more than on the open. It may trade just basically unchanged to down a penny or two early and then late. Maybe tail off. A lot's going to be dependent upon what the weather does this weekend. I mean, everything's kind of getting mixed up in the bowl here now. And if we could get a sustained run at harvest, I think futures and basis levels are going to suffer.
Some numbers out today by Informa. What do they tell us?
Well, I'll tell you what. Probably nothing too surprising. They were looking at an additional 3 million, I don't know exactly, 3.7 million acres of corn and about 4.6 million acres of additional wheat and 3.1 million acres less beans. So what that does is that if we just use trend line yields on corn, says we're going to raise roughly 11.6 billion bushel of corn next year. Takes our bean production down, but I mean, from what we're hearing from the country right now, if we have what we're seeing early through the entire harvest, we're probably going to carry out 750 million bushel of beans next year. I mean, beans are really doing fairly well early. Now, like I said, we're early, so have to wait and see on that. Wheat, obviously, with the $4 mark exceeded, going to have a lot of additional wheat acres planted in some marginal areas that really don't raise corn and beans very well, but do raise wheat. So I think that's probably coming. Now, whether there's any of it will get double crop, you know, remains to be seen. So,
thank you much, Tom.
You bet.
Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is located in Champaign, Illinois. Strategic Farm Marketing joins us every Friday on the Pre-Opening Commodity Market Report. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.